All right, so we've been going through that thought of, okay, we understand we have basic physical needs, but we also understand we have basic mental and emotional needs that are they're significant. And when we're lacking these, it makes life very difficult to live. A lot of times even though we don't even understand necessarily that we need them, we're pursuing after them. And a lot of times what we find is we're looking for them in the wrong places and gets us in a lot of trouble. And so we want to find these things and we want to go to the right place to find them. And so we've looked at a lot of different things already in terms of the idea of acceptance, of value, of purpose. Last week was security, and so this week we want to consider the thought of finding support. And so support, I think, is something we understand the basic principle. It's that which upholds, sustains, and keeps from falling. We think of any kind of building, right? Whether it's a gazebo or say like the arena or something like that, that you go in there and you see these different supports, and that's what's holding everything up, right? And so we understand that, the idea of support and what that means. And we think of it that any structure requires support in order to endure. You realize too that with any structure that the support that is needed is carefully calculated so that the structure will be able to endure not simply normal conditions but extreme conditions. I know I was helping with Kinder College. They want to build a shade structure in their play area for the kids, right? And it's kind of the thing a person can. We had someone draw up a drawing for it and looked pretty good, but then we found, okay, well, if it's going to be built, you need to have the engineers inspect it and make sure everything's good, because yes, even though it's a small structure, like there's things, especially in this country, with the wind and everything, you don't want to have that thing suddenly ripping out and flipping over and crashing into something, right? And so you really think of that, how things are designed, that even though there's like normal situations, you could get away with building it just strong enough. But you're always going to get to a point where it has some extreme conditions that it has to be able to handle. And if and if you don't have those, like if it isn't built strong enough, it'll collapse. I remember when we were in our apprenticeship training for carpentry, that they showed us this video of this suspension bridge that ended up collapsing, and they had designed it and everything, and they thought everything was good. But what happened is they didn't take in thoughts of just wind and how the wind would catch it. And what happened is it started kind of flopping like this, and then you saw like the suspension wires snap off, and then the whole thing just tumbled into the river, and it just. The thing is that you just realize, okay, yeah, they didn't have it calculated well enough. They thought, oh, this is strong enough, and they were mistaken. And so we realize that if you have, and that's really what you can look at, that you have some buildings that have stood for hundreds, some even thousands of years, and you look at, wow, that was built very well. That has the proper support is needed. Then you have some things where like it's a terrible, like it just collapses and it's just such a disaster, and you realize, okay, it wasn't, somebody missed something, there wasn't the necessary supports for those extreme conditions. And so it's the same thing, that just like with the structure, our lives at certain times, there's going to be a lot of times a normal, and where, okay, I can kind of manage this fairly well, but there's always going to come times where it is extreme conditions, where we're under intense stress, things are happening that we don't expect, and we can think with the situation we're facing right now, that a lot of people are under a lot of stress. And so we realize support is necessary in order to prevent damage or collapse. And so we understand that it makes sense to us from what when we just kind of look at it just with the basic principle. And of course, we would like to convince ourselves we're strong, we never need a support, and that's, I think, especially as men, like we want to be tough.
I tried that the first time, I tried to get clean, and I ended up just about
busy. Yeah, but it's the thing is that we need to recognize that we do have limitations. And just like with something that's built, is that like an engineer knows, okay, this is how much sheer strength this has, this is how much weight it can carry, and so it knows if what it's dealing with is going to exceed that weight limit or that sheer limit, then there has to be more support built into the structure to make it last. And so it's the same with us, is that we have limitations and we need to be aware when we reach them. Like we have physical limitations, and like our bodies need a certain amount of sleep. Our bodies can only do so much, right? And our minds, we can only handle so much emotionally.
Yeah.
And so we have limitations, and so we need to be aware when we've reached them. And the problem is a lot of times we don't have that awareness, and we keep pushing ourselves beyond. And then it can get to a very serious situation for us sometimes, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally. And so we have to be realizing that for our own sake, for our own safety. And so it's a thought, is that, and I think all of us as guys, we've done this, where you have something that's heavy, and it maybe even has on the box team lift, and someone, you're thinking, yeah, maybe I should get someone to help, but someone says, oh, you need help for that, and you're like, oh no, I can do this myself, right? And you go to do it, but then you end up hurting yourself, right? And sometimes it's like you can shake it off after a few days, but sometimes you can end up really hurting yourself. And like I remember with my dad, through his many years of carpentry, he had a couple times where he hurt his back quite badly, and it took a long time for him to get it so it was good again. Like I remember he said he used to have to, like, basically roll out of bed and kind of crawl on the floor for the first bit till it got limbered up where he could actually stand up. It was that bad. So we do that when we go beyond our limitations, that we can have that happen. But we think of that, we understand that physically, we've probably experienced it physically, but it's all the more true when we carry an emotional burden that's too heavy. And we sometimes don't even think of that in those terms. But there's things that happen that our structure is not designed to carry that emotional burden without some kind of support. And so we need to find it in those times. That we kind of think of it that, like, it's, there's different big boxes where they have that picture on it says team lift. That there's different things in life that emotionally we need to almost have that idea that there needs to be a team lift sticker on this. because this is not something that I can handle alone, that I should expect to have to handle alone, that it's okay to ask for help. And so there's probably many different examples of that.
Not sure why that didn't come up. But anyways, you just kind of see that. So emotional burdens include grief, trauma, or abuse.
Grief, trauma.
And so it's the thing is that if you lose a loved one, right? Someone that's meant a lot in your life, like, that's why you have a funeral and you have people that come and they come to support you because you need that support. And as men, sometimes we think we have to grieve alone, but no, we don't have to. And of course, we have to learn how to grieve sometimes. But that's a time where you need support. That, like, if you've suffered loss, that's a team lift for emotional. Something emotional that you're having to carry, right? If you go through some kind of trauma, say if you go through a car accident or something like that.
But oftentimes with grief and learning how to grieve, we humans like allow each other to do that on their own. Like it's been my experience that I didn't know how to grieve, and then it was like, you know, you go to a celebration of life or a funeral or whatever you want to call it, but then all of a sudden, like, you're left to grieve on your own. And everybody takes their own time for grieving.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it, too, is because sometimes people, like, they come to the funeral and they think, oh, I've done my part to help this person. But I think all of us that have experienced grief, like, it might be years before we're through the grieving process. And so it's something for those around that person, they need to realize that they need more than just first couple weeks. It might be months later, they still need support. But then as well, for us that are going through that time of grief, we sometimes need to be able to say, hey guys, I could use some help here. I'm just struggling a bit. And not to feel like that there's something wrong if you're saying that, because it's natural. And again, it's kind of that thing where this is getting heavy for me. Could I have someone come and help me lift it? And that's really what we're learning, trying to learn how to do. And it doesn't come naturally sometimes, but we have to learn how to do that. And it can be not just with grief, but with trauma as well, that we've gone through something traumatic, that how to process that can be hard. And I remember a few months ago, I did something really dumb. There was someone called and said there was something wrong with my computer, that it had been compromised, and so they were going to help get rid of all the viruses, and instead basically they were trying to steal from me as I let them on my computer to fix it, kind of thing, right? And it was something that, like, I know, like, as it was a criminal act, gave a statement at the police station, and they gave me a card for victim services, and it's support. And it's really kind of something that, looking back on it, I probably should have called the number, because I know that for about a week or so, it was just like kind of, because it felt violated, and it was almost like the phone would ring and you'd think it was them calling back or something. Like, just a lot of crazy stuff, but it just, like, you go through that, and it's just like, okay, I'm struggling. It's okay to say I'm struggling, could use some help, because that's trying to process that. Just be the same if someone came across a car accident, right? Just those images are, once you get them in your mind, it's hard to get them out. And so how do you deal with that? And so realizing in this situation, this is a team lift, I need help.
Yeah.
And then if in a position of abuse, and this is sometimes...
Traumatic abuse.
Yeah.
A lot of that in the world.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that sometimes something happens to someone when they're a child, and really when they're not... Like, it's hard enough to deal with as an adult, let alone as a child, right? But it's processing through that, and sometimes if you don't process through it, you end up doing a whole lot of, like, negative things to try to just manage it. And it's, again, it's like, okay, this happened to me. I need someone's help to help me sort through this. And there's nothing to be ashamed of in that, nothing wrong about that, but it's you want to get through that. That's important. And so, it's a thought. Having adequate support prevents damage. And this is kind of the thing. Sometimes we refuse support, but it puts us in a place of vulnerability where we could end up getting damaged, where we just, we have kind of an emotional wound that it can be take a whole lot longer to heal from it than, say, like a physical thing. And so it's kind of the thing. It's like we either get the support we need before we get under that terrible burden to prevent the damage, or when we are damaged, we have to say, okay, I need to recover, I need to heal, so I'm going to need even more help, more support, in order to get back to that place of strength and health again. And so as well, we understand that because we've talked about, we have these different emotional needs, we're looking for ways to fill those needs, and sometimes we look in the wrong place. And so addiction, we realize, arises out of our need for support. And it's the thing is that a lot of times it can be our pride. We look at things and we say, okay, well, I don't want to tell anybody that I'm struggling, but I'll grab a hold of this thing and this can help me through this. This will just be a quick fix, and this will, I'm kind of the thing. It's different mood altering drugs. It's okay, I'm really anxious. I need to take some to calm me down, or I'm feeling down and I need some to boost me up. And so these different things, they provide us an emotional boost, they keep us going temporarily, but of course what happens though, they don't give sustainable support, and they start having, of course, all the different things that come with them that affect us in different ways in terms of our physical, mental health, and so it's kind of these things. It's like, I remember this. We had, when we lived in BC, we had this carport over our driveway. And I remember one year it snowed a bunch, and I shoveled the snow off because I thought, okay, this thing isn't in that great. It's not designed to hold that much. And so, I shoveled it off, and it was good. But that was like 10 or 12 years ago. It wasn't in that great a shape, right? And so I think it was last year, last May, we ended up driving out that way for a funeral. And so we thought we'd visit our old neighbors, and we just kind of looked over. And here, the guy hadn't really done anything to fix it or shore it up properly. But what he'd done is he jammed a whole bunch of 2x4s under the sides to keep it up. And it's just, that's kind of like, just thinking about that kind of reminded me of addiction. It's like, okay, we're not actually putting the right things in to make it strong. We're just doing these temporary things where we're just stuffing it in, and that's going to be okay. But then pretty soon it's all going to come crashing down.
Yeah.
And it's going to be worse, not better. when that happens. And so it eventually contributes to our collapse. And so we have to be wise with that. Again, I'm not sure why it's not coming up, but letter I, it says, in order to break free from our addictions, what we have to do is substitute our unhealthy reliance on impersonal substances and instead build a healthy system of personal support into our lives. And that's the difference. Drugs, a lot of these things are impersonal. And they're things that we do alone. And it drives us away from people a lot of times because we're ashamed of what we're doing. And it's counterproductive because we need to connect with more people. That's what's going to be our way out. That's going to be where we're going to find the support that we need. And so that's the idea. It's when we see things coming,
well,
we
push people away, all your loved ones away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really the sad thing, is that people that could help us in a positive way, we basically push them out of our lives, so then we have to basically deal with all of it alone. And it's not a good place for us to be at all. And so we want to learn that we don't continue in that. And so I wanted to just show a few examples of support found in the Bible. And this is in Exodus chapter 17, and it's kind of an interesting story. And what happened is there is this battle that was going on. And and basically Moses is overlooking this fight. And so he had his staff, which God had used to perform great miracles, like parting the Red Sea and other things. And so basically, he was up on this mountain. When he held up the rod in his hands like this, then the Israelites were winning the battle. But then if he put his hands down, then the other guys were winning, and they were losing. And so as long as he held it up, they would win. But his arms were getting heavy. And so there's these two other guys, Aaron and Hur. Aaron was his brother. And what they did, okay, they saw this, and so they basically rolled a stone over and had Moses sit on it, and then the two of them held up his hands. And so as long as he held up his hands, they prevailed. And so then they were able, and it says that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so then they were able to have a victory. And so it's kind of that principle, is that sometimes, like when you're trying to do something but you're getting tired, if you just have people that can kind of support you and keep you going, that you can have a great victory. And it just, relying on our own strength by ourselves often gets us in trouble. But then there's this one passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and this is a good one to remember, especially in those times where we're kind of thinking that we can be lone wolves. It says, Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And so we see the wisdom of that, right? That if you have a companion, if you slip, then your buddy can help you up, right? But if you're all alone, you can end up in a lot of trouble. And it says, verse 12, too, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And that's kind of interesting what it talks about there. It's like, if you're in a fight, if you're all by yourself, one person might beat you. But if you have someone that's fighting with you, you're going to have victory. And a threefold cord gives you an idea. It's like, kind of the more the better, kind of, is the idea of it. And so we see that, but then as well, in Galatians chapter 6, it's a principle that's given that is really helpful and really good mindset. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," so if someone's made a terrible mistake in their life, it says, "ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And so, and then it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That a lot of times what happens, someone does something wrong that everybody criticizes and just wants to push them away, but God's saying, no, if someone's done that, then you need to try to help them back up again. And it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." That it's the idea that we're all in this together, we're all here to help one another. That's what Christ wants us to do. And so we see that in the Bible there, these examples of support, that it's that like a principle that we can really like cling on to and think, okay, I need to apply this because this is important. I need to have support. I need to eventually try to learn to be a support to other people. And that's kind of the idea of mutual burden bearing, that all of us have times where we're down, and so we need times to picking up, but then there's others times where we're good, but somebody else is down. We need to be able to learn to pick them up, and it's an important thing to have. So we want to give a few thoughts, just as we draw to a close, on developing our support system. And so, ultimately, we understand God is our greatest source of support in life. That's what He is there for us to be. And it says, Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." That is the thing, is that this is too heavy for me. And He, if we give it to Him, He'll sustain us. He'll keep us from falling. And He wants us, like, it's really kind of, that picture is like where we're struggling and He's like, okay, put it on my shoulders. My shoulders are big, I can carry this. And we don't have to carry those things. He can for us. And it says of God that now unto Him that is able to keep thee from falling. And that's the thing, is that we can stumble, but if we look to Him, He can help us and give us that support we need so we don't fall. And then this idea too, "The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, he guideth his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And that's sometimes what happens. We can see that even though we do stumble, we fail in the day, God helps us. We don't go from, okay, making a bit of a little mistake and then going all the way down to the bottom again, right? Where he basically helps us to, okay, you made a mistake. Okay, let's get this right, learn from this mistake, and not have it lead down any further than it has to. But then it's, whoops.
Yeah. That, you have to have that for support, because...
Yeah.
Because if you try it on your own, that slip can lead you to the bottom.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it can happen quickly. And so, and as well, when we think of this, God being the support, it's also the idea that as we follow the principle of God's Word, it gives strength to the structure of our lives. Because it's like we start making decisions based on principles of wisdom. And what happens, it gives us greater resiliency to endure life's storms. And so, we see in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus says, the person that if he hears my commands and he does them, he's going to be like a man that built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, but the house stood firm. But in contrast to people that don't listen to my commands, it'll be like someone building a house on the sand. And the rains will come and the house is going to collapse. And so we think of that God's trying to help us. And so as we listen to His instructions, then it's amazing just
how we find that there's greater strength to our lives. But then as well, we want to understand this too, is that God is overall seeking to provide us support, but a lot of times he's putting people in our lives to be those supports for us. And kind of like what you're saying, it seems, well, where are all these people coming from? Well, it's God sees that you need help, and so he's bringing those people into your life to help you. And so we want to be able to identify these people that God is sending. And really we can identify them by certain qualities that they have. Because that's the thing, is sometimes we can seek support, but it might not always be good support. Kind of what we learned about with principle number 6 is that sometimes there's people that they don't love the Lord, they don't have the right attitude, and so they're not going to help us go forward, they're actually going to drag us back. And so we want to choose the right people that we see. This is God's putting these people in my life to support me. And so we can think of it, one, people are good listeners. That they don't know it all. They want to understand you. They want to come to know you better. Listening is a skill few people really have. And so if you find someone that's a good listener, then that's really important, really valuable. But secondly, people have compassion, because I think all the times we can have where maybe we do try to open up to someone and they're dismissive, they're critical, they might say, well, just suck it up, buttercup. And it's like, yeah, maybe like you should be able to, but right now you need some support and you're asking for support, and to get shot down, like, that's not helping at all. And so when you find someone that is willing to say, okay, what's going on, and maybe even someone that they can even kind of see it in your your countenance, that they say, okay, you're happy, today you're looking really down, something going on, you want to talk about it. For someone to do that, like, it shows that they care, that they're not self-absorbed, they're thinking, okay, maybe I should reach out to this person. And so, again, that's someone that you see, okay, God, this is someone that God sent me, if they have these qualities. But then as well, people who walk in wisdom. And that's the thing, someone that's making good decisions, someone that's you see is taking some good steps in life, that you look to them, because sometimes we tend to pick people to ask advice that are just going to be kind of rubber stamping what we want, and that never usually gets us in a good place. But someone that's done, like, had some experience, maybe learned through experience, that they could say, okay, hey, this is what you're going to want to do, but this isn't what you should do. And that they can guide us, that they can be very helpful. And it's like, we want to find people like that. And I know, like, I have a pastor friend that has these qualities, and it's just a blessing where, like, I can talk and he'll just listen, and then he'll give some thoughts, but he'll not, even though he has a lot of wisdom, he doesn't act like he's like this expert or anything. But just very valuable to find people like that. But then as well, it's understanding too from the Bible that God has designed the local church as our support system in which we can be edified and exhorted. And those two words are not words that we generally use that much today, but they're actually really good words, really valuable words. Because edify, all that means is to build up. And so God basically, his idea that in a church family, that everything is that happens is to be done to build each other up. And of course, sometimes in a church, we totally forget that whole thing, and sometimes we can tear each other down, but that's not what we're supposed to do. That we're supposed to be there for each other, to build each other up, to give encouragement, and exhort. It's a neat word because it actually means to call someone to your side. So it's the idea that somebody's walking along, and instead of pushing you away or just going their own way and let you go yours, they say, well, let's go on this journey of life together. And they might have some things to say that are encouraging. Some of it might be, okay, don't do that. That's dangerous. I did that. It was a disaster. But they're challenging you. They're trying to help you become a better version of yourself. And so that's the idea, is what God wants from us. And how that's what really the church is supposed to be. And I think being reminded of that is important, is just realizing, yeah, none of us are perfect. All of us need help, and that's what we're supposed to be for each other, to build each other up, and then to walk together in life and be an encouragement to each other. And so, go ahead.
Where can church be physically?
Well, that's the thing. Like, church can be anywhere. Like, it's when you have, because God talks about where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And so, it's... I think we really have to, we tend to think of church being just what goes on in a church building, but actually, like the church isn't something that you come to, church is something that you're a part of through the week, right? That, where it actually talks about almost being like a body, where you're functioning together, you're connected, and you're supporting one another in that way. And that's kind of Ephesians 4. It talks about that, of this, basically, that where we're built up in as individuals, and then this church body is built up and strengthened at the same time. And that we actually learn to, as we support each other, that we function as one in trying to make a difference in our community. And so it's kind of understanding that, and sometimes it even though that's what the Bible teaches, sometimes it actually goes against what sometimes our concept of church is, but that's really what it's for and how it's supposed to function. And so it's a thought that when we're seeking victory, whether it be over addiction or over the challenges of life, the more support we have, the sooner and greater the victory we can experience. And this is just kind of a way of illustrating this. You think of World War II with D-Day, where they wanted to make a landing and take on the German army and bring liberation to the European continent. But just imagine if you had it where the British would say, oh, I want to do this all myself, and you Americans and Canadians, you just stay away. Or the Americans said, oh, we'll do it. Just imagine if it hadn't been this whole united effort. Like, maybe they could have won, but it would have been tough slogging. And a lot more people would have died if they didn't have all that support in place, right? And so it's the same idea, is that if you want to have victory, and normally we want to have victory as quickly as possible. We don't want it to have it dragged out forever and have it where, sure, we won, but basically what if we've lost so much on the way, right? So the more support we have, the sooner and greater the victory we can experience. And so it's kind of, even though there's part of us, our pride, that says, I want to do this all myself, we realize that, no, the more help I can get, the sooner I can get further along in my life to where I want to be. And so it's thinking in this way, that life is a team sport. And so the stronger And the more closely knit of a team that we build, the greater the success we all can have. And so that's kind of the thing, is that we want to learn is that we need a team, we need to be part of a team, that it's not me all alone in life, that I need to look, well, who can I have that can be on my team to help me have victory, and that I can help them have victory? And learning to do that, that it's the more we learn to do that, then the more we can have success, the more we can enjoy it and experience it together. Because it's, you think of any team, like, it's when they win together, the celebration that they have together is so much better than it's like, say if it was somebody got several goals and they're maybe leading the points race, but their team still lost. Like, that's not as much value as if, okay, this guy maybe didn't score as much goals, but then the team won, right? And so it's learning that when we build a team, and the closer knit the team becomes, and the greater that we can enjoy the success that we come to. So. All right. So that's maybe.